Today we all are celebrating the women who keep going. How many ladies do we have in here today that just keep going? They keep going even when it's hard, it's difficult. Maybe stuck somewhere between where they were and where they're headed. Stuck where they were and where they're headed. So we celebrate today women of faith who have persevered. You've gone through the buried trials of life's hardest seasons. To me, that's what I want to celebrate today. Those that have persevered through buried trials of life's hardest seasons. Let me ask this question. How many here today, you've ever felt like life has buried you? Let's be honest. You say, well, I've never felt buried. Yes, you have. You're just not telling the truth. What do you mean? Like with the weight of pressure and of heartache and heartbreak and loss, or just silence? Just the silence. Those things have covered you so deeply. You're up over your head with it. So much so you don't even recognize yourself anymore. You don't even recognize yourself. Like what, Bishop? Like your identity. You've lost it. It's been buried. It's been hidden under layers of pain and disregard. Layers of it. And all you can do is cry out, God, where are you in all of this? Where are you? Has anyone ever said that before? God, where are you in all of this? What's going on? What now? If that's where you are or where you've been, you need to hear this message today. Because I believe it'll change your thinking. Let me start with this. You are not buried, ladies and gentlemen. You are not buried to be forgotten. You are planted with purpose. You're not buried to be forgotten. You are planted with purpose. What do you mean? In God's hands, in His hands, what feels like a burial is often the beginning of a resurrection. You think you've been hidden. You think you've been buried. Change your mindset. Mindset, because there's a resurrection. You may be in dirt. Say that with me. I may be in dirt. You may be in dirt, but you're not done. Let me say it again. You may be in dirt, but you're not done. Let me go on to say, you're not defeated. You're being made ready to use. You're being set up to be used. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 and 2 says, to everything, not just some things. Now, this is in God's perspective. To everything, there is a season. Now, I don't know what season you're in, but let me just tell you, whatever it is, there's a reason. There's a reason for the season. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. How many people have a purpose? Well, there's a time for it. You got to get your timing in order. You have to understand there's a process in place. He says in the second verse, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. What do you mean? There's a time when you've gone through the process of planting something, of burying it, there will be a harvest. I believe it's harvest time. I want to declare something over your life today. You are not buried to be forgotten. You're planted to grow. You're not buried to be forgotten. You're planted to grow. You see, the enemy didn't bury you. God has planted you. You may feel dark and you may feel hidden, but God has planted you. I'm going to show you why. And let me say, it's growth season. Say that back to me. It's growth season. Look at this verse. Psalms 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears, that means you are working in the ground. You're working in the dirt. You're expending energy. You're expending effort. He said, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. I think it's time to sing a song of joy. If I'm going to weep tears, it's going to be tears of joy, not tears of pain, not tears of sorrow. I'm going to weep tears of joy. And I've got news for you. The Holy Spirit is doing a move in the land today, and He's trying to wake up complacent people, trying to wake up people that think they know and they don't know. People that have set God in a box, people that have said that this is the way that God is doing, and God's saying, I didn't ever say that, I didn't ever do that. God is trying to change the way we think. Had someone here one time, they left the church, and they were angry at me. Of course, now they're laying in a hospital, don't even know who they are. But they left saying, I don't have to listen to it. I want him to preach more about abortion. Why in the world would I preach on one thing when there's so many things about the love of Jesus Christ? Are you with me? We cannot speak. Anytime I've ever gone before a group, the Lord always instructs me, don't look at their faces. What He's saying is, don't look at them to draw accolades or to draw an applause or to say, amen, you've done the right thing. He said, don't do that. You speak the truth, because sometimes when you speak the truth, you don't get accolades, you get rocks. And anytime you speak the truth, you may not get applause, but you may get a few rocks. But the truth is still the truth, and it still stands today. And you can't bury the truth, because somewhere truth is going to sprout up and it's going to bear its fruit. Are y'all with me today? Are you okay? Take a deep breath. Shake yourself. There you go, Doc. So I may sow in tear, but I'm going to reap songs of joy. I'm going to get happy today. No matter what, I'm going to be happy. I don't need a building to be happy. I don't need a tent to be happy. I can be happy all by myself. Happiness is a state of mind. So you feel hidden. You feel buried. You feel like you've been in pain. You feel like people have overlooked you. You feel like God's not answering your prayers. But God has already answered your prayer. We're just waiting for the process of time. And sometimes that is hard to do. But when you ladies know, when you had a baby and you're a mother today, you understand it took three trimesters. It took the trimester. You had 9 months that you had to go through. If not, it was premature. And the problem we're having is we want premature answers to prayers that God says is going to take a certain amount of time. Has anybody else caught that? It's like that, and everybody just calm down just for a second. Because, see, nobody wants to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Anybody know that's in the Bible? Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Again, I say, that's what he said. Again, I say, wait on the Lord. You may be hidden in a dark place, but hear me today. You will reap in joy. The difference, here's the difference. The difference between a grave and a garden is what comes next. The difference between a grave and a garden is what comes next. If you're buried in a grave, it means something. But if you're buried in a garden, it also means something. What do you mean? You may have been buried. Again, I'll ask, have you ever felt buried? With bills, with pain, whatever. You may have been buried, but it's not final. Turn to somebody and say, it's not final. The pit, the darkness, the pit you've been experiencing is not your resting place. Why? Because there is a resurrection. resurrection of life, a resurrection of purpose, and a resurrection of joy. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Here's a key scripture for you. John 12:24 in the English Standard Version. Truly, truly, I say to you. Now, this is Jesus talking. He said it in the King James, verily, verily, I say unto you. Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth, it's got to be buried. It's got to die. Falls into the earth and dies. D-I-E-S. Dies. It remains alone. It's all by itself. There is no fruit. There is no process. There's nothing but decay. But when it falls into the earth and dies, if it doesn't fall in the earth and die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I've come to announce to you today, you need to die. What, Bishop? I don't even have a burial policy. I've got one. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. That's not the kind of death I'm talking about. I'm talking about you need to understand what Jesus is talking about here. What are you saying then? There has to be a death before there can be fruit. Everybody wants the fruit, but nobody wants the death. And I'm going to tell you something about myself. I've had to die. I've had to put ego aside and envy and jealousy and competitiveness. I'm a competitive cuss. And I've had to put my competitiveness aside. I've had to do all that because all those things do not signify or declare the goodness of Jesus Christ. It doesn't amplify Jesus. And anything that doesn't amplify Jesus, it needs to, thank you, it needs to, because you see, we're all interconnected. Whether you like it or not, we're all what the Bible calls it, talks about brothers and sisters. But really, in truth, we are connected one to another. That's why Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Because we're all connected. So, what are you saying? There has to be a death before there's fruit. You see, in this scripture, Jesus wasn't talking about agriculture. Jesus was a farmer. No, he wasn't talking about agriculture. He was talking about himself. His death, his burial, and resurrection. But he was also giving us a pattern. People read the Bible and never see patterns. They never see what he's saying. They see what they want him to say. And that's the problem we've got with church dogma now and religiosity, is that we have put words in the mouth of God. Because if I don't wear a robe and a collar, I'm not a priest. But I'm going to tell you I'm a priest because he said I was. No, I can't wait to hit some preachers right between the eyes in the next few weeks. Because I'm telling you, I am loaded for bear. Because people don't understand what they've done to the church. Oh, I'm not popular. Don't want to be popular. I want to be a prophet. Because you see, there's no popularity, one, when you speak, here we go again, truth. But God is an amazing God. Let me just drop this little nugget in. Rihanna had a problem. She's visiting her mother today. But I told her to go see. She went to three dentists, I think it was. Two or three dentists. And they told her how bad her teeth were. Three of them. They're cracked. The roots are dead. The roots are damaged. And all this stuff. How bad it was. And I told her, I said, look, when you go to Oklahoma, check out the dentistry college here. And you're going to see. And I prayed for her. I said, God's going to touch your teeth. She goes out there and they said, they checked her out and they said, you know what? I don't know what dentist told you in Atlanta, that your teeth, but there is no crack. There is no nerve damage. You've got some cavities. So instead of $7,000 worth of work, it all boils down to maybe a couple hundred dollars of repair. Does God care? He'll help you with your teeth if you'll quit using it so much to talk bad about people. But God, Jesus, was speaking here. He was giving a pattern. Follow another step. He was giving order. He was giving transformation. He was giving process. What do you mean? Death precedes life, and burial precedes breakthrough. There has to be, here's the order: death, burial, then resurrection. But what we want is resurrection. Resurrection. And I'm not talking about the resurrection of Jesus coming and everybody coming out of their graves. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your life right now. There has to be a death. Then you bury it. That means it is, I'm hiding that away. It's gone. You hide yourself, and then comes fruitfulness or resurrection. It's interesting, isn't it? Because God works that way. He works in those kinds of statements. People read the Bible again with their lens of tradition on, their lens of what somebody else said, and they don't see what God has said. They never see it. So what's my point, Bishop? God, in God, everybody say in God. In God, the deep work happens in dark places. The deep work works in dark places. You may not like it, but let's look at God. How many people don't like the dark? We don't like the dark. We don't like silence. But some of God's greatest work happens where no one else can see. The sermon today's title would be Buried Alive, because we need to be buried. Some of God's greatest work happens and nobody else can see it. Look at Joseph, betrayed by his family, put into a pit. Then he goes into a darker place where he is in a prison. But understand, it takes the pit, it takes the prison to get you to the palace. Great work of God. How about David? David is hidden away out in the field. His brethren didn't care about him. His own father didn't seem to care when Samuel came to anoint or look at his sons. But remember, David had to be out there alone before he got to the throne. In darkness before he got to the light of the throne. Just see Jesus. Jesus had to go to the tomb before there could be triumph. Hidden, but not forgotten. Process, death, burial, resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. You follow that order. Has anyone else died? Let me tell you. Paul says it best. Hey, for this cause I die daily. I die daily. You mean you have to die every day? Every day I live, I have to die. There's thoughts that I have to kill. There's attitudes I've got to reject. Does anybody else? Y'all aren't like me. Y'all are more better Christians. But there are things that you have to kill on a daily basis. You have to slaughter it. If not, your mind will get carried away, and the voices that are in your mind, Courtney, will drive you into despair and despondency, and to where you throw up your hands and say, where are you in this, God? Where are you in this, God? I don't understand. A lot of times we don't understand because we keep going back to the same stuff that we wanted to get out of. Now, I want to illuminate that, because that there are people today, they cry and beg to get out of something, and then when they get out of it, they go right back to it. That's wrong. That's just wrong. I'll never buy a car like that again. What do? You go out and buy one more expensive. Well, I'll never get a house like that. This house is way too big. Now you go out and get something that's worse. We keep getting worse. We don't get better. I tell you, I've paid off all my credit cards. Praise God. I won't never charge nothing again. What do you do? Boom, 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 boom. We need to bury some of those things. They're killing us. You see, we've been hidden does not mean that you are forgotten, because you're not. It's that place of process. Sometimes God has to hide you. Follow this. Sometimes God has to hide you to heal you. He plants you to prepare you. What do you mean by that, Bishop? Isaiah 45, verse 3. This is a powerful verse. I will give you treasures. Notice the terminology here and the words here. I will give you treasures of darkness. A treasure of darkness. I will give you treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know when you come out of that pit, when you come out of that grave-looking thing, out of that hole, so that when you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by your name. He's going to call you Christian. He's going to call you Dr. Carr. He won't call you Dr. Carr. He'll call you Miller. He'll call you Alfonso. What I'm trying to tell you, he's going to call you by your name. I don't know what you were called in your native country, but if you were called Babalu, he's going to call you Babalu. You think I'm kidding? I was reading where a person died and came back, and they said it was strange because when Jesus spoke to them, they called them by the name that they were accustomed to, that others were not calling them. Instead of whatever it was, their second name, that's the name they went by. He called them by their name. So we have a treasure in darkness. What is that darkness? When I'm covered up and I cannot see, righteousness will burst forth. It will burst through the darkness, and it will produce much fruit. So you have to ask yourself the question today. Where in my life do I feel buried right now? Moms, where do I feel buried right now? Is it in your finances? How many feel buried in their finances? How about your relationships? How about your mental health? How about, this is one we can all, in your purpose, your calling. But Bishop, you don't understand. I feel like I am dying. Well, you're in a good place. I feel like I'm dying. What feels like death may just be a divine appointment. A divine development. Because he's setting you up. You know what? We give the devil too much credit. Devil made me do it. Devil made me do this. Devil's putting me down. Devil's keeping me from a promotion and all this stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. We are cursing the wilderness, and God has put us there. Oh boy, I could preach here. We're cursing the darkness, and God has us there for growth. We need to quit cursing our darkness and cursing our wilderness and realize that God may have just planted us there for a reason, because there has to be a death, burial, and resurrection. And before the promise can come forth, there has to be a process of time. What people don't realize is we keep commanding the devil, commanding certain things to be gone, and all we're doing is commanding God to get out of our life. Now, y'all need to think about that. We're commanding God, we're commanding these things to be gone, and God has placed them there for a reason. He's allowed it because everything in this life is a learning process, and it is a test for the eternity. For eternity. Everything's about eternity. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. Maybe not today. Christian, be careful. But I'm looking forward to seeing him. And everything that I've conceived or thought about Jesus, I'm going to tell you, when I see him, it'll be far greater than I could ever imagine. And you, whenever you see him, you'll say, man, Bishop didn't even touch it. A divine appointment. A divine appointment. Everybody say divine appointment. 1 Peter 5:10 clears it up. He says, and after you've suffered a little while, after you've been buried for a season, after you've lived in darkness, you didn't think like nobody cared, nobody loves me, nobody understands where I'm headed. I'm trying to snort like the Baptist preachers. Nobody know the trouble I see. You got to hear this. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself, everybody say, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Are y'all getting that? Obviously not, because you're sitting there looking like a toad in a rainstorm. Bishop, I'm thinking about them turnip greens on the stove. And it's Mother's Day, but she had to cook for the whole family. Now, this is not a classic Mother's Day message. My wife asked, are you going to preach a Mother's Day message? I said, no. Because we need something more than just talking about Mother's Day. We need something that makes that day blessed. Something that keeps people from feeling in despair and darkness. I'm excited. Why are you excited, Bishop? Because nothing is impossible with our God. Can I read that again? I love that. And after you've suffered a little while, in God's perspective, it's a little while. Doesn't matter if it's 10 years. It's a little while because time means nothing to God. Time is something that man created. It's not what God created. It's man set segments of time. After you suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory through Christ Jesus, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's all what he's going to do. So what are you saying, dear Bishop? The suffering, this is for somebody here today, the suffering is seasonal. The suffering is seasonal. The strengthening is eternal. He says in Romans 8:18, the Apostle Paul says, for I reckon, he must have been Southern, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What does that mean? That means when you plant some seeds that are ugly looking seeds, when they come out of the ground, they could be roses, daffodils, tulips, whatever. When you plant it, it's an ugly looking thing. But when it comes forth, you may be ugly, but when you come forth, you're going to be beautiful. God help me. Mark this down in your little red book. I would say black book, but I don't know. It's red or black. Mark this down. God never wastes pain. God never wastes pain. He transforms it into purpose. Did y'all catch that? He never wastes pain. He transforms it into his purpose. So you're not stuck. Turn to somebody and say, you're not stuck. You're sprouting. You're not stuck, you're sprouting. You're not stuck, you're sprouting. I'm going to get y'all to answer me back in the back. You're not stuck, you're sprouting. You're not decaying, you're developing. I have to scream at y'all sometimes to get y'all awake. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure. That's King James. I'm reading from another version, but you're right. It's earthen vessels. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, jars of clay. We are hard pressed on every side. My God, we're going down. We're being hidden. We're being buried. Watch him. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body. Here's the key. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. What do you mean? You die daily to Jesus Christ. It's the death of Christ. It's working in you. It's not you in Christ. It's Christ in you. You getting that now? And so I die to self, and the more less of me and more of him. Oh, Lord. What is it called, Bishop? I hear what you're saying. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. In our body. In the here and now. What does this mean? It's called, watch, it's called pain with purpose. It's called pain with purpose. Pain with purpose. What's the purpose? Fruit. The purpose is fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, the Bible says Jesus walked by one day and saw a tree that didn't bear fruit and he cursed it. It withered and died. I preached that message back here 35 years ago. But Jesus is walking around in the grove looking in the grove. He's walking around in the grove looking at the trees. And if you're not bearing fruit, he says, why encumber through the ground? I'm just going to cut you down. What kind of fruit are you bearing? But what we're dealing with today is feeling like we're hidden, like we're buried away, like we have no hope. You do have hope. It's not over just because you think it's over. It's not over because you think your body's breaking down, because let me announce to you, your body is breaking down. It's breaking down on a daily basis. But I serve a God that goes beyond. Someone says it's all time and chance, but I serve a God that goes beyond time and goes beyond chance. I serve a God that goes beyond what your mortal body feels. I go beyond that. That's what he does. It's called pain with purpose. Pain with purpose. So let me ask this question for your own thinking. What fruit might God be growing in your hidden season? What kind of fruit may be growing in your hidden season, in your dark time? Maybe it's a greater faith. You can't say you have great faith until you've been tested. Everything I thought that I would accomplish in life, God said, let me just show you something. Zip, I'm going to change it. Everything that I thought it would be a certain way, he turned it around on me. You know why? So it would not be my glory, it would be his glory. It wouldn't be my way, it'd be his way. So if you wonder why your world's turned upside down, because your world's not in the right position. He's trying to get you in the right place. That's all he's trying to do, is get you in the right place. And once you get there, you'll start to bear fruit. God, I don't understand. Why me? Why not you? Why not you? A lot of people in Scripture, if you study them, went through hell to be able to minister this glorious gospel to us. So maybe you're going through this season to get a greater level of faith. maybe a deeper compassion. Maybe you need a deeper compassion. Because now that you're going through something, you might be more compassionate about somebody that's going through a similar set of circumstances. Am I right or wrong? Maybe it's an unshakable identity. You're going through it, but now your identity is solid. You know who you are. I know who I am. Nobody can strip away or take away from what God has called me to be. Nobody can take that from me. If a man can give you a scepter, he can take away your throne, your crown. So nobody gave me a scepter, and nobody can take my crown. I ran from the bishopric. When they wanted to make me a bishop, I said, I don't want to be a bishop, because it's an office, it's not a calling. I said, I don't want to be a bishop. It was forced on me. The final voice was my father. He said, son, do it for me. Because that's not who I am. I don't want to be, I only want to be what God's called me to be. And let me tell you what that is. That is a voice crying in the wilderness. That's what that is. That's who I am. It's a voice. So maybe you're going through a period of time where you're going to have an unshakable identity. Maybe you're going to get a testimony that will unlock someone else's freedom. A powerful testimony. How many of y'all need a testimony? You said, but God, I just want to. See, Gerald, in order to get a testimony, you got to have a test of honey. You're going to have a test. You don't get a testimony without spending some money. It's going to cost you something. Turn to somebody and say, your testimony is going to cost you something. Because if it don't cost you anything, you don't have a testimony. Are you happy today? Well, I've tried to kill it all, but we'll work it back. Now my daddy said, I'm going to wipe that smile off your face, son. So what are you trying to say? In all this, Bishop, why are we struggling? So why am I struggling when I know the truth of the word? Yes. Don't fight the formation. Don't fight the process. That's the struggle you're going through. You keep fighting that which God has put in place. Formation, as he works in our lives, formation often feels like frustration. But what's forming you is also going to fuel you. I'm preaching better than y'all are responding. We say we want to be more like Jesus. Have you said that? You be careful with that. We want to be more like Jesus, but we forget that includes the cross, the grave, and the garden. I just want to be more like Jesus. You realize he was tortured? Yes, sir. My God. I'm careful what I ask him for. I asked him one time, I wanted to be like Job. But what I wanted to be like is what I read in the last part of the book. When I told, y'all have heard me say it before, I told my daddy that. And he said, son, because I'd gone through hell. I was a young man. He said, son, that was the stupidest thing you've ever done. I said, thank you, Daddy, for confirming that. Because I went through hell. Because I didn't read the first part of the book. So be careful what you say you want to be like. I want to be like Brother Muskegon. I wish they could say my name right. I have war with people, Michigan, Muskegon. You know. You don't want to be like me. You say, I bet you, Bishop, you want to be like T.D. Jakes. Absolutely not. I bet you want to be like one of them cardinals that was voting for the Pope. No, no, no. You won't see me in a robe. I'm through with that. I've done all that. And let me tell you why. Can I share something with you? Don't tell anybody I said this, because I'm going to tell some people in a few days. I refuse to wear the paraphernalia and the robes of a system that does not work. I refuse it. How can you go back and grab all those things that are not working and throw it on us and say, this is God? That's a powerful statement I just made, because the Lord spoke that to me. I refuse it. Now, I won't make friends with that one. That one's going to cost me some friendships. But I don't need friends. I need Jesus. And when I find Jesus, I'll find friends. I'm happy today. Man, I'm feeling good. I'm telling y'all a little truth. Some of y'all got mad at me, maybe. You shouldn't be mad. You ought to be glad. We'll be more like Jesus, but we forget the cross. Yes, sir, we forget the grave, and we realize without that there could be no garden. You cannot be resurrected until you're buried. So let the dying parts of you give way to the divine growth. Give way to the divine growth. Let the buried places become the blooming places. Start to grow. Start to bloom. I'm getting almost ready to quit, so y'all better wake up. You were buried with purpose. It's growth season. Here's something I want you to let your spirit sink into today. Get really into it. First, let me make these statements, something we've already stated, but get it into your spirit so you can summarize this. You're not forgotten. You are not forgotten. You may feel like you are, but you're not forgotten. You may be in a dark place, but you're not forgotten. A father or mother will never forget their child, not as their proper father or mother. They'll never forget their child, no matter where they are. You're not forgotten. You're being formed. That's point one. So what felt like a grave is actually your greenhouse. What felt like silence is actually strategy. What looked like the end is actually the entry point to life. Randy, you gonna run yet? Let me remind you of the verse again. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. So instead of asking God to dig you out or dig you up, ask Him to grow you up. Because many of us are so immature in the Lord. We really are. I'm still learning. So Bishop, I've read the Bible. How long have you been reading the Bible? Oh, I've been reading the Bible now to 6 months. And I'm going to say this so you can understand me clearly. If your mind doesn't dwell sometime during the day about Jesus or the Word, you will lose to your carnality. Now, go ahead and mark that one down. I promise you that's going to happen. Because that happens to me. And if it happens to me, I know it's going to happen to you. Not me, I'm too holy. Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. Don't even put on that holy look to me. Steve, you need more of it than anybody. I'm just telling you what I know. If you let your carnal mind take over, you're in big trouble. And without the Word, Floyd, your mind's going to go there. Listen, even people that speak the word. I have to listen. Now, I have to go in and listen to ministry because nobody ministers to me. You all understand that? If I'm not preaching here, I'm preaching somewhere else. So I'm never being ministered to. So I have to open up avenues to be ministered to so that my spirit can be fed. And the more it's fed, the stronger I get. The more I can walk around the house and say, to God be the glory for the things he's done. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm going to make it. My body, listen, I want to tell you what. I could not raise my arm. Do you hear what I'm saying? I could not raise my arm, but God showed me how to do it. All this is torn. I've got documentation and pictures to show you it's tore up. They said it can only be helped with surgery. The only way, surgery. And God said, well, let me show you something. He said, you might have a little pain, but you're going to move. And I learned. He taught me. Pain means that you're still alive. I don't want no more pain. Well, you might not be alive. So instead of asking him, God, please you dig me out, I'm going to say, God, help me grow up. Instead of asking, when will all this end? When will it end? Ask, what is he trying to produce in you? What's he trying to get out of you? Okay, I'm closing. Everybody give me an applause for closing. No, I was kidding. But would you please pray this prayer with me? Father, thank you that you don't waste pain. You plant purpose. In our buried places, let roots grow deep. In our hidden seasons, grow fruit that will last. I like that one. In our hidden seasons, grow fruit that will last. Say it loud. I'm going to do it again. In our hidden seasons, grow fruit that will last. Remind us. Remind us that we're not alone. We're not forgotten. We're not abandoned. We are being formed for fruitfulness. I'm being formed for fruit, and I'm going to produce that fruit in the name of Jesus. Now, you need to live that prayer.